Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of Lending Forward. I am your host, Hannah McManus, and I am joined today with the CMO of Shape Software, Ms. Catherine Campbell. Hey, Catherine.
Hello, Hannah. Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. I had to have you on because, you know, we were talking about AI and we have had you on for MBA event in North Carolina. You've done it for Virginia. And I think it's a topic that really, I think everyone needs to hear it, especially our listener base. And I'm really excited to dig into all of the things that you're passionate about and that you've been talking about for quite a while.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. AI has been around for quite a while. That's what I say. Artificial intelligence, it's not all of it is so artificial. It's sort of, very human enabled. And basically, it's a very sophisticated database of our knowledge. And so while it feels really novel, it's the concept is not the sort of execution of how we're able to utilize it. It has come very far, very fast and will be exponentially faster. So this is one of those things. It's kind of like email. There's no getting out of it. You can't keep sending your mail. You're going to have to send the email at some point and then you'll realize it's wonderful. But, you know, we still have people deliver mail every day. So it's not like it all goes away.
That is very true. And you're right. AI has been around for a long time. And I don't know what it is. And maybe you can kind of give us a little backstory, but it feels like it came out of nowhere this past year and it's just skyrocketed. Or maybe we're all just bored and now we've caught on to ChatGPT. But I mean, kind of walk us through a little bit because it has been around. Maybe we just didn't realize it was around. Where did like AI kind of start or where did we see it? And like, why is it so powerful now?
Right. So artificial intelligence and machine learning. So if you hear AI, ML, that's what the AI is, the artificial intelligence, and ML is the machine learning. And so we actually, even in this industry, have had it utilized in many of the applications that we're using. A lot of people just didn't know it. Like in our loan apps, you know, the point of sale system, when that came along in 2018, people were like, oh, good, I have a digital mortgage. I'm like, you have a application, first name, last name, online, right? We've been doing that for credit cards and bank accounts for a long time, but that was very novel for mortgage. And so this industry, it feels more impactful because we had not been inputting, like massive itinerary plans for travel, opening credit cards, those types of things. We've been doing it for at least the last decade, really more, right? So it just feels newer to us because when the advancement came along of ChatGPT and it was so quickly adopted that, you know, we thought it was like, oh, wow, all this just came overnight. But in the point of sale systems, it was really in 2018 when that became a popular thing, at least half of them were using artificial intelligence or some kind of machine learning. Today, almost 100% of them do. And so just that quickly, they've all recognized, the sort of processing in the back end is much faster through some machine learning and AI. Document collection, you know, about 71% of our documents collected use AI to actually read, you know, the OCR too, mm-hmm. Reader to understand the document, but then use AI to say, oh, the OCR says this is what the document is and it's accurate. All the little lines are signed and the boxes are checked. You know, it can read that. But then it has to figure out who to distribute which type of paperwork to, right? Does this need to go to the underwriter? Does this need to go to the appraiser? You know, that sort of thing. And so it can actually distribute that paperwork differently through an AI model. That is largely almost all document collection is using AI for that now. Social media, we all know that social media, we love to say, what do I say for this picture, right? And that's pretty cool. But it actually in the back end will optimize for us the best times for our audience to see our posts and those sorts of things. So those are all very manual, detailed marketing initiatives where we would say, you know, 10 o'clock on Tuesday is the best time to send an email, you know, and everybody's now sending at 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Well, now
you're getting bombarded with emails.
Yeah, exactly. Email. Everybody got that. So those sorts of things we don't need to worry about, because Hannah, I may send you an email and you always tend to open it on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock. That's like your downtime. Maybe you even have block time in your calendar. Well, the AI will start to learn that about you and then deliver my email to you when it makes the most sense for you. It's as much of a benefit to you as it is to me that you would actually read it. So, you know, chatbots have come along, and that is sort of the big leap in AI for us, because there's a very direct to consumer experience that we're witnessing in our audiences, and they prefer that. I mean, you know, this is the deal. These audience, millennials and certainly Gen Z, are expecting instant questions answered. And that is really largely through a chatbot opportunity.
So I want you to dig into that, because I know you had a slide about how quickly different technologies or different tools kind of grew throughout the years. And you said that they prefer it. I prefer it. I know that. But, you know, the demographics are changing. We are now looking at first-time home buyers, you know, as millennials, Gen Z, Gen X. Is that right? Yeah, I don't know if I got that right. But they have all grown up with phones. And so everything has kind of sped up.
Yes.
And so talk to me a little bit about the way the new generation wants to be directed.
Yes, engaged with this stuff. That's exactly right. So, well, let's do take that step back just for a moment, because it was a concept a few years ago that the baby boomers would want to buy a mortgage one way, and the Gen Zers that are coming along, and certainly the millennials. How did the millennials want to buy? They all want to buy a different way. And it's really quite not true. I mean, what we found out is that the engagement of a millennial at certain points where they are not sure which dot to press, right, which box to check, they do want a human more engaged versus a baby boomer who has already been through a mortgage several times. They understand it completely. They know exactly which box to check. They don't want a human involved there. And they are also already used to technology. My mother is a baby boomer, and she shops her insurance online, her homeowner's insurance every year or two. And she says, no one better call me now. I've already picked my insurance. You know, so it's not really an age thing anymore. You have early adopters and things. And if you go back to like Spotify, let's say, so back in 2008, when Spotify was released, I was in San Francisco. I was hot and heavy in technology. I very much considered myself an earlier adopter, but I thought it was ludicrous that we would pay for radio. So while all my friends were doing that, I'm like, y'all are crazy. I have, you know, San Francisco, an hour and a half commute each way, and I'm perfectly fine with flipping through the stations, listening to literally books on tape, because we had cassette tapes, you know, those types of things, and couldn't find the value in it. And it was 11 years before there was an adoption of Spotify to 100 million users. And I was in the laggard end of those 11 years. Now I listen to it every single day. I certainly listen to my audiobooks on it. I can't even imagine life without it, but I couldn't even tell you how to turn the radio on in my car. Honestly, it just plays through my phone and it's Spotify. So that's, you know, fast forward Facebook. So Spotify is something that is interesting, because all we did was find a different value and use for something that was very old, radio, right? We weren't teaching people, do you want to listen to music? We were already doing that. We were doing it in a different format. When Facebook came along in 2004, that's a completely different concept. We were saying, hey, we want to create this connection between everybody, that we want the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is to figure out what you missed last night that all your friends were doing. Okay. That is a change in behavior, and that is very expensive. You're convincing people it's safe. You're convincing people to put their personal lives out on the internet. Right. And that is very, very hard. And yet it only took 4.5 years to reach 100 million users for Facebook, because there was this advantage to it for, you know, we could quickly find out where our friends were and what was going on. Right. Anything we missed. Well, 2022, when ChatGPT came out, it took 2 months to get to 100 million users. Okay. And so I believe there's something like 1.8 billion users every single month on ChatGPT. And, you know, we're only a couple of years beyond that. So the point is, the hesitancy to use technology is no longer there. That barrier is broken, particularly when we could find an advantage for the consumer that's using the technology, like ChatGPT, right? As a marketer, I can say, hey, write a whole journey for me for a first-time home buyer, right? Write a whole email journey, and I'm going to go doctor it up some, right? Mm-hmm. I'm certainly going to put our brand's kind of tone in there a little better than it could. But I don't have to start from scratch and say, what would I say, you know? So when it's that kind of advantage, the technology adoption is very, very fast. And that's what we are trying as technologists to get more and more people in this industry to understand. It's a huge advantage. You just need to help and be very attuned to the borrower that you're working with to understand, when do you need me and when do you want the technology?
Mm-hmm. And you have a slide in your thing. And again, I'm like envisioning your presentation, but
okay.
I think that's where a lot of people get either scared or lost, or they don't know where their place is in the world of AI. Yep. And so you have a wonderful breakdown, and it's got a lot of letters on it. And I hope that you break it down.
You want me to share?
That really... yeah, you can share it. It'll show on YouTube. It won't show on Spotify, obviously.
Okay,
but
that's fine.
If you share it here, you can definitely share it. But I think it's a really good visual of AI doesn't have to be scary. You do have a place in the world with AI, and this is kind of the difference.
That's exactly right. So there's a few ways to break this down to where it's really practical for you to think about. The formula is AQ plus EQ is greater than your IQ. So the sum of your AQ, EQ, that AQ is your adaptability quotient. And that is your ability to adapt with the times as they are changing. This is what I'm saying. There's no getting out of using the technology. It's like email. There's no getting out of it. So are you saying things to your colleagues, to the people around you and your family, certainly if you're saying this to your borrowers, there really is this negative connotation from other people when you say things like, oh, we have to use this technology. I can't stand it. I just like when we just take the app over the phone and I get to know the person. And people want to empathize with you a little, but most people do want to use the technology, particularly in the application process. So if you're not adapting, that's a challenge. If you are quickly adapting and then you marry that with your emotional quotient, you're not only saying we're going to use this new technology, it should be easier on you and much faster for you to be able to send me the documentation, and also more secure. We would not want to do that over email. But I am concerned about you. How do you feel about that? I can come by if you're local or whatever it might be. So that your EQ, understanding the emotional challenges that someone is going through on such a massive transaction as a mortgage, combined with, and this is how we're going to do it, is much greater than your intellectual quotient, right? Your IQ, your knowledge of the product and how much you're going to need to put down and exactly the closing costs and what that LE looks like. Those things are important, but technology does that in 2 seconds, right? You do some great integration with your pricing engine and your CRM and, a great point of sale system. And the borrower's already looking at it in 30 seconds. So, you don't not have a place anymore just because it's an unfamiliar place. It used to be they were reliant on you because they couldn't figure out those numbers, or what did they mean, or how do I know if I'm going to qualify, right? There's so much information online. They can already figure out a lot of those things if they really had to. They're more needing, hey, here's a resource for you. Watch this YouTube channel. This is a great explanation of what an APR is, right? You're that EQ and AQ, and let the technology be the IQ.
Mm-hmm. And I think that takes us into a whole new world of redefining our value, right? As your trusted advisor, as your loan officer, as your real estate partner, whatever your role is, I think it's what value are you bringing now? Because like you just said, the products, the guidelines, all of that, they can find that. They don't need you for that anymore. But what they do need you for is the handholding, the caring, the reminding them why they're doing this, letting them know their story. So you already knew where I was
Yeah, we'll actually walk through this. It really, to me, is the whole point. I think where people get lost in, either they don't like learning the AI or they like learning the AI, and then they start to get concerned they don't have a place in this business, right? So, how do we just like level up to 2024 and where we actually are? So one exercise I strongly recommend everybody do. I don't care if you're in ops, if you're in sales, if you're a CEO, I don't care who you are, this is a great exercise to do. Write out the top five reasons you're really good at what you do. And think about it, because it is a very difficult market we're in. And if you're listening to this, you're still in it. Okay. So why? What would make you stay in what in this industry and this market? And how are you surviving beyond those who couldn't do that? So you must be good at what you do to still be here. So really write down the top five reasons that you are. And then what I would suggest you do is to go back and look at any of those five reasons that might include something like, I put together a really good file. I am very organized when I pre-qualify someone. I know when to pull their credit so that it doesn't expire, right? I'm very good at all of these tactical pieces that qualify someone for a loan. Mark all of that out. Mark out every single thing that technology is either already capable of doing, and maybe you're not utilizing it, or it can do and will do in the near future, because it ultimately will do all of that, right? We will have a 24-hour application to clear to close, okay? Within a year, that would be probably a fairly normal thing for people to be able to accomplish. So because of that, what's left for you to be needed, and what is then your real role if the technology can do that? And so these are just some examples: empathetic, patient, kind, a good listener. You care that they get this thing. This is different. There is sentiment in AI. So if you were to, let's say that someone were to email you, I'm really concerned. My husband just doesn't think that the house is a good idea anymore. And, let's say there's just like this sudden drama, right? There's always some drama in a mortgage. Yes, the AI could understand that sentiment and maybe even reply in some empathetic way, but it is AI. It is not going to the next level and saying, remember when you talked about the fact that his mother was going to be further away, she was going to be a few miles further, give him this Google Map route. You are taking it a step that AI will never be able to take that conversation, right? I mean, so this is understanding your role is to be, guess what, guys, of service. Your role is to be of service. And in fact, what I always say is if you're really concerned about how you're going to compete in a world with AI, be human. Be the thing AI will never be, and that is human. And particularly now when everyone's a little confused about how to work with artificial intelligence, the generative AI.
And I love that. It goes back to that EQ piece of like AI is never going to be able to understand emotion, or maybe it will, but right now it's not going to understand emotion. It's not going to know all of the conversations that you've had with this buyer or this borrower or this client that, who knows what they're telling you. But I do love that to be human. Going back to just kind of being that early adopter, I still think we're already a little behind the game. I don't know. Would you consider people early adopters still?
Absolutely. I mean, so early adopters is someone who says, hey, there's a point of sale system. I want to send that link, right? We definitely had some people like that because the application process was so vital to what loan officers believed was their way to make the loan sticky to them. Once I've taken the application, they're not going somewhere else, right? And maybe there was a time that that was the case. But now, since everyone does have a point of sale system and it is so easy to leave, there has to be some other ways to go about that. So the early adopter today is someone who can say, I'm not only going to use the point of sale system, I'm going to use marketing automation, I'm going to use social media, I'm going to stay top of mind. And that's where a CRM like Shape, who can either integrate with whatever tools, we're very agnostic to whatever tools you may already have, or you can actually utilize our very progressive, modernized tools that's already mixed with AI. Either way, we don't care. But you use one central, what we call an SSOT. You use a single source of truth for all of that technology, then it knows when the automation is to go, what the general sentiment of the conversations are, and the milestone of where you live with that client, if it's lead or actually in process of a loan, so that it is helping you stay top of mind through before, during, and then even after a loan, versus having to log into all of those different technologies all the time that are not speaking to each other. And so that's where this sort of anchor technology that is compliant, regulated, and reading your database in real time is so critical.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I like to always give our listeners some tactical ways to leave a podcast and put something to action. So for all of the listeners out there, and we've got, you know, we've got the real estate agents, we've got the loan officers, we've got some other industry vets. What do you have, like one or two tips or next steps or something to get them closer to using AI or adopting AI or just getting better at AI?
Absolutely. So two things. One is, there are so many YouTubers out there showing you how to use ChatGPT, Claude, you know, whatever it is that you want to use, right? That you need to book that time. You need to be dedicated to it. Don't say, yeah, I need to spend some time doing that. Actually, book Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10:30 to 11:30. This is what I do. I spend 1 hour watching those YouTube videos on one screen while I actually am on the other screen monitor, you know, doing what it says to do. I'm, you know, actually in real time following that guide. And that way you can stop it, you can rewind it, whatever. And that's 2 hours a week. Maybe you spend 1 hour a week, but however important it is to you, but because there's no getting out of it and you're far from being too late to get into it. I mean, we're far. So just start, just baby start.
If it's everybody can be an early adopter.
Everybody. That's right. Everybody can be an early adopter. That's exactly right. But it's not going to be intuitive enough yet, although it is getting there relatively quickly, it's not going to be intuitive enough yet, particularly when it's entrenched inside of the technologies, how to get the best execution out of them. So you do want to just go ahead and block that time and spend some time learning. Find your favorite people and follow them. That's number one. Number two, let me grab it because it's right here.
Let's see. Oh gosh.
You know I have to say it.
Oh yes, please plug it.
Look, I'm all blurry, so it might not do it. It's to read Rethink Everything You Know About Being a Next Gen Loan Officer. This really is 37 chapters of really every single position you could be in mortgage right now. And there are a couple of chapters on AI that are absolutely phenomenal. And it just breaks it down for you to be able to look at me with all my tabs right here, if you can even see that. You know, it's like tabs and highlighting.
Mine's highlighted, so it's
like
fine.
It's like my notebook. I just write in this book. I write in all my books. And, you know, this is, you know, get back to sort of basics of using traditional ways to continue learning. It's a great book for that.
That is a great book. And I'm proud to say several of those authors are friends of Lending Forward. And you guys are all so good at what you do. And I think that book is so nicely laid out. It's yes. easy to follow. The chapters yes. aren't too long. And honestly, you might have done it. I know a couple other people did it. Like the QR codes that take oh, you yeah, further it. In. I got yeah. sucked in really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it so that's the thing. You get a best of both worlds. You get something mm-hmm. that you can highlight, and then you get something you can go off and watch to continue the conversation. And then you've got new people to follow.
It's fantastic. It's so good. Well, Catherine, we're coming up on time, and I can't let you leave without asking you, how are you planning on lending it forward for the rest of the year?
You know, it is very critical that, and this is what we spend most of our time in SHAPE doing, is that we make sure that we are helping, certainly our users understand how to do this in a very, you know, graceful way. That, so what, you know, what we did is actually completely change our entire training platform where, it's free to get very high level of training. You know, there's some CRMs that don't offer that or some that are very expensive. And so we lend it forward by saying, you know, we're going to help you through this. There's sort of this gigantic leap that's going on mm-hmm. in this. And so that is, what we've done. And we've just implemented it a couple of weeks ago. And it's so far, people are so grateful for it. So we will continue that path.
That's awesome. So are you offering that only to SHAPE users or is that to anybody?
It is specific for Shape. It's in Shape so that you really understand how to utilize AI, how to find all the sort of integration opportunities across the tools so that you just get the most out of it. You know, we should not be at a place where we're charging for you to get the most out of what tools that you're already paying for. So that's a big, big shift.
I love that. And I love this whole conversation, and I hope that it continues. I think, you know, as AI develops, the need to have you and other people just constantly pouring into us to help us understand, you know, how to navigate it, where we find our place, how do we all succeed with, you know, just all of this kind of moving in this automated direction. So thank you so much for joining, Catherine. I really do appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be seeing each other soon.
Very good. Thank you. Great to see you, Hannah.
See ya.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452.